So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
So let's get with the program and see what's up. I'm not sure what's going on. So let's play the game, and we'll take it from there. In the meantime, the chat room is telling me that they're having a problem with audio. It seems to be working just fine here. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Let's see what's happening here. I'm in the chat room now, so you can look at a couple of people. Let's see if we can figure this out. Okay, now you can hear me. Well, thank you. So I'm just going to call Hunter. Don't know why it happened. Apparently it's fixed. So my apologies. In the meantime, for the rest of you guys, if you want to call in tonight, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. And just so you know, you can also join us in our live chat right here at BTR. You can go to LouisvillePolitics.com. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break.
So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to HuntsmanAutoGlass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Love to be found. I close my eyes and soon I find I'm in a playground in my mind where the children laugh and the children play and we sing a song all day.
My name is Michael. I got a nickel shiny and new. I'm gonna buy me all kinds of candy. That's what I'm gonna do.
All the wonders that I find in the playground in my mind, in a world that used to be. Close your eyes and follow me where the children laugh and the children play and we sing a song all day.
My girl is Cindy. When we get married, we're gonna have a baby or two. We're gonna let them visit their grandma. That's what we're gonna do. Living
one of our good friends of the show, Chief Artie Extraordinaire, Mr. David Adams. How are you, sir?
Ed, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's great to hear your voice. For you guys who are new to the show, don't know who David is, let me put it this way. David came on the map as the original campaign manager for the Rand Paul Senate campaign. We at the NBN Radio Network pushed Rand Paul and introduced him to Louisville. And David, since that time, has been like a man on steroids, trying to get accountability. And this latest one is awesome. What is going on with your latest lawsuit, sir?
Well, we've just heard back from Governor Beshear after failing to get the Franklin Circuit Court to throw my case out, saying that I didn't have standing, that I didn't have the right to complain. He is now asking the Supreme Court to rule that I don't have standing, that I don't have the right to sue. And actually, technically, he's asking the Court of Appeals. But this case is on its way to the Supreme Court, I hope that once and for all he will get it through his thick head that citizens have the right to sue, particularly when the governor himself is violating state law and putting, no exaggeration, billions of dollars, of taxpayer dollars, at risk of being frittered away on this social engineering garbage coming out of Washington, D.C. Hey, Ed?
folks. Let's try this way. David, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Man, I apologize, David. You know we have never run into this before. And, you know, you've been a guest here before, and I apologize because I just wasted about 3 or 4 minutes of your day.
Keep rolling, man. It's part of the show. Let's go.
Well, we're there, brother. You know, I really want to talk to people tonight about this case because most people think that your case is just because you're trying to stop Obamacare, which isn't the fact at all. This is all about principles of law, is it not?
That's correct, yes.
Explain to everybody exactly why this is a principle of law, because most people think that, well, this is a Tea Party guy. He doesn't want Obamacare. You know how the game goes. You know, but they don't really understand that Governor Beshear just made himself the dictator of Kentucky. Is that correct?
That's right. And the point that I've tried to make repeatedly in court and will continue to make this point till it gets through some thick heads, which I'm hopeful that we're getting closer to accomplishing that, is that even if Obamacare were the greatest thing since sliced bread, even if it were impeccable public policy, we have a process. We have steps to go through to implement anything. Now, with regard to the creation of the Kentucky Health Benefit Exchange, the website, the subsidies, the pathway for all those subsidies to go to people, essentially what is the takeover of the health insurance industry through the Obamacare federal law, the states have the option under the law to create their own exchanges. And the difference is, if the state sets up their own exchange, after 2014, they're responsible for 100% of the cost. If you default to the federal government picks up all of those costs. So what we're doing is we're taking upon ourselves an unfunded mandate from the federal government that hits us really hard starting in a little bit more than a year. And so we have a statute that allows the governor to go in between legislative sessions to create a new bureaucracy and actually to propose the creation of new taxes and new spending and new laws. It's KRS 12.028. Governor Beshear, in the summer of 2012, wrote up an executive order creating the exchange. That same statute requires that the legislature, as soon as it comes back in, that it either ratify or decline to ratify the action that the governor took.
And that's the whole problem, right? I mean, that's the whole problem. The governor's actually implemented this, spent Kentucky money on this before he ever had approval from the legislature.
Well,
is that correct?
He had temporary authority under the law to create the exchange, but it had to be ratified as soon as the legislature got back into session. The 2013 General Assembly session was the time to do that. That session ended without even a bill being proposed to ratify the creation of the health benefit exchange. The law
and
mandate – go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, and that's the whole crux of the argument, though. I mean, the fact is that he had some limited authority granted to him in 2012. The legislature came back into session in 2013. They did not take up the Kentucky Health Exchange. They did not do anything to empower him to move beyond what he was empowered to do in 2012. So at that point, the situation is over, game over. There's nothing legal about it, correct?
So there is nothing legal about it. That is correct.
Okay. So this
does not legally exist.
Well, this is where I'm trying to go with this, David, because most people in the state, you know, and around the country, they can make of this what they will. But this case of yours is actually probably going to be great to be a national case study, and I tell you why. Because Obamacare on a national level was passed in 2009 by Congress. It was a law. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Boehner said it was going to be legal, and he called it a tax. But
right.
Once a law is passed through a legislative body, whether that's Kentucky or the U.S. Congress, then it is implemented in its entirety, and that's the problem with Obamacare now, because what Governor Beshear has done is the same exact thing that President Obama did. Obama did not go back to the legislature and say, okay, we need to change this law so that we can exempt corporations, so that we can exempt small business, so we can exempt all of these people until after the 2014 elections. He took it upon himself to say who was going to be held accountable to this law and who's not. So when I look at from the bigger picture, I'm looking at your case in Kentucky is going to have some major ramifications, because if you win this at the Kentucky State Supreme Court level and it goes on to the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, there is some basis in this governor overstepping authority that could actually lead to the broader decision through the U.S. Supreme Court and Obamacare. Is that true?
Well, you know, there's an important distinction between the federal law and the state law. And within the state law, it makes the Constitution does not allow for regulation of health insurance. So the Affordable Care Act properly puts creation of the health benefit exchange in the hands of the state. It gives them the option. Our law very clearly allows for that option to be fulfilled between the governor and the legislature, with legislative authorities, and that's where the breakdown occurred, and that's where the fix needs to happen. Now, there's another part of this, and that's the Medicaid expansion, and that falls under a different state statute. Now, you may recall that back when the Supreme Court ruled, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled by 7-2 that the requirement that the states take the Medicaid expansion, that was unconstitutional, that it had to be optional to the states. And
right.
So our state has a procedure for implementing a change to Medicaid eligibility, such as was requested or made provision for in the Affordable Care Act, and that's KRS 205.520, subsection 3. And that requires that we go through an administrative review process or regulatory review, which is spelled out in KRS 13A. And Governor Beshear never initiated that. The legislature never fulfilled any part of that. And now it's too late to start it. We cannot legally, in any way, shape, or form, effect the Medicaid expansion under Kentucky law.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the Medicaid expansion as well, because, you know, one of the side effects of this Obamacare, and I'm not trying to get off track here, but I want to make sure people know that this just came out. You know, United Healthcare has actually sent a pink slip to thousands of Connecticut doctors because of the Obamacare mandates, and these are for the doctors who are actually taking care of Medicare Advantage and that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're going to run into some of that same problem here accordingly, aren't we?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are problems all over the place that are best resolved if it's handled decisively and immediately. I mean, we've got a little bit of play here that, you know, we can go till the end of the year before January the 1st and just essentially cancel the whole thing out. You know, you shut down the Kentucky Health Benefit Exchange as a state-run entity. Let the federal government come in. We've seen how that's working, and that was part of the strategy of the national effort to shut down Obamacare. Is if you force the federal government to run the exchanges, they can't do it, and we're seeing that played out on the national stage right now. That's where Kentucky rightfully belongs as well, because we did not legally create the exchange. Then as far as the Medicaid expansion, what you're signing Kentucky up for is spending billions of dollars that we don't have.
You know, and that's the most fascinating thing about it, because here we've got the retirement debacle we can't pay for, the pension crisis and everything else. We've got Steve Beshear, dictator-in-chief here in Kentucky, thinking he can put us on the hook for even more money. I mean, you know, this is what's so comical, and that's why I have such a hard time with people, you know, asking questions and stepping up. But at the end of the day, if you win your lawsuit, what's going to happen?
Well, you know, actually, the sun will continue to come up. And, you know, the roads will not be busted into little pieces. Very simply, the ownership and the control of the Kentucky Health Benefit Exchange will fall to the federal government. This bureaucracy that we're creating in Frankfort, and the necessity for additional taxes, additional revenues, additional spending will simply go away. It'll become the responsibility of the federal government. If we win on the Medicaid expansion as well, we simply won't expand Medicaid eligibility in a way that we demonstrably cannot afford. So it's all we do. If we lose these cases, we're out billions of dollars that we don't have. If we win the cases, we get to keep those billions. That's all.
Well, yeah, you know, that's kind of misleading too, because if we win the cases, then the federal government's on the hook, so they're still going to get us one end or the other. It's just a matter of how much they're going to get up front. Let's go to the phones real quick, David. You okay with that?
Sure.
Let's see what we got here. Caller 63 area code on the air.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Oh, hi. This is Amy from Okeechobee, Florida.
Okay.
And I used to live in Kentucky and quite well aware of the politics. And I've got two questions, but then I want to kind of give some background, okay, before you answer the questions.
Okay.
Okay, and the first is to David Adams. Why do you think the Kentucky Supreme Court is going to grant you relief when the Kentucky Supreme Court and the Attorney General office, they're doing the exact same thing as Beshear, and they are bypassing the Constitution and the legislature through enacting administrative orders and reorganization orders? And the second thing is how do we address that there is no rule of law in Kentucky, that the legislature, what they vote on simply doesn't matter anymore because the executive branch and the judicial branch does what they want to do anyway. Okay? Now, the thing, those are two big questions.
Let's try to get to the questions first. I don't want to, because it's, you asked who, David, go ahead. Question number one. Why is the Supreme Court going to do anything different than you today do anybody else? Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the timing is one thing, and the enormity of the issue. You know, you have national attention on this, and it's actually playing into my benefit, or to the benefit of my argument that Governor Beshear is going on this nationwide victory tour talking about how Kentucky is leading the way implementing Obamacare. He's continuing to increase expectations, continuing to brighten the spotlight on Obamacare in Kentucky. And I was just in Franklin Circuit Court. They are getting requests from literally all over the country. People are ordering and paying hundreds of dollars to get copies of the entire files on these cases. And so they're reading the cases. They're figuring out what's going on. This is a big-time national issue. And as we get into it, this is not one of these Kentucky things that can just be buried. And unfortunately, a lot of the problems, and I know what you're talking about, Amy, the corruption runs very deep in Kentucky. So it has to be, what we need is a perfect storm for public policy and politics hitting at exactly the same time. And I think that there's a very good chance that that happens here. We have 7 Supreme Court justices. They all stand for re-election. If they tag themselves by subverting the law as Obamacare judges, there are, in my view, four of them, if not five, that will lose, will stand a very strong chance of losing, and would put their seats at risk simply with that title and the national attention that will have been brought to this. So I know that we have a long track record of the Kentucky Supreme Court and the Kentucky court system screwing things up a lot and doing so to the benefit of the power structure within the state. Of course, I'm hopeful that they see things differently. I think that there is incentive built in place for that to happen, and I'm hopeful that will occur in this case.
So essentially, we're hopeful as usual. Anyway, in your particular case, I mean, Amy, I got to agree with David on this. This is getting such national attention right now. It's going to be awful hard for Kentucky not to follow through and do something with this just because of a national backlash. So I would agree with that. Does that answer your questions?
Actually, I would kind of disagree. I mean, I think Kentucky is so sheltered that they don't consider what public opinion is. They're going to do what they're going
to
do, regardless
well,
of what the law
that.
Is.
Well, you're probably right
yeah,
there.
We're used to that.
Yeah, we're
but
used to that. But how do you change it? If it's your question, we wish we had the answers. I know David has been working for many years trying to make a better political situation here. We do the same thing. Ed Martin is with us. I'll get him on air in just a second. There's a lot of people out there making changes, and there's small changes, true, but it's like anything else. Change is hard sometimes. And, sometimes it might take a duration. Would you agree, David? I mean, right now, who would have thought, 5 years ago, that the Tea Party Republicans would be being blamed for shutting down Washington, D.C. and the government?
who
would have thought
that's a great point. And the bottom line on this is, change is hard. Fighting the power structure is hard. The answer to that is we have one of two different directions to go on that, and we have to pick one. We either quit, we put our heads down in the sand and just let it roll over us, or we fight back harder. This is an attempt to fight back harder. You have to be opportunistic. You have to be lucky sometimes. I think that the issue is big enough, and that the timing is potentially more beneficial to us. We don't know. You don't know until you run out the clock. So we're going to run it out the best way that we can. We'll hope for the best, and hope. What I'm trying to do is keep people optimistic and keep people fighting. If we lose this, but we gain more of an awareness of what's going on, then we go on to the next one and we fight harder again. Hopefully we get more people looking at the Constitution, looking at the law, and seeing where the government is screwing us on things like this.
And I would agree because, I have a very similar issue in federal court against the Chief Justice of the Kentucky Supreme Court. And a federal judge right now is deciding whether the Chief Justice was violating the Kentucky Constitution. And, it comes to that perfect storm. Everybody's got to keep pushing at it. But I just...
Well, here's something else
it
comes down to, too, though, Amy. I mean, realistically, I mean, for you to continue, for appeals process and everything else, it takes a bunch of money, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And that's another thing we really have to look at because, with case of David, correct me if I'm wrong, but I guarantee you've got thousands of dollars out of your pocket on this already. And if this ultimately ends up at the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, I mean, it's $30,000 minimum just to get to the U.S. Supreme Court. And that's a lot of money. So that's a lot of reason that these people win as well. Am I wrong here?
Oh, no doubt about it. They're spending our money fighting us. I'm dependent upon donations from friends and strangers around the state, and like you say, my own resources. And when I go into court, I'm paying for my side and I'm paying for their side as well.
So yeah, there you go. Amy, thanks for the call. Ed Martin, weigh in.
Oh, well, I was going to say I actually tend to agree with with both the caller and David. I mean, the state of Kentucky, as we all know, we've all had some legal actions, you know, against us and for us with the state. And it is. The state tends to be sheltered. And that's not only on a judicial basis, but on a political basis. We have a certain sheltering to us. But I actually agree with David Moore. I think it's because a lot of times they run these little sandbox despots in our state, and they pretty much figure nobody's looking. You know, little state, 4 million people, and a lot of money, and so nobody's really paying attention. So they know they can get away with it. They know they can play their games. But you know, I think the publicity, I think, is huge. You know, whether win or lose on David's part, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be everything from right wing or left wing media, alternative media, potentially, you know, the NBCs and the, you know, and the ABCs of the world could be watching it, because it, you know, everybody's, there's so damn few people that are neutral, and it's a big case. So as we always say, sunlight's the best disinfectant. I tend to agree with David that it's got a lot of sunlight is coming to this case. So, the desperate judgments and things like that we might normally get in Kentucky, I don't think we're going to get.
Well, let's look at reality here, too, though, because you mentioned alternatives.
They may surprise us and make us the laughing stock of the country, but you never know.
Well, they're definitely going to do that. I mean, we're the laughing stock of the country anytime Kentucky's mentioned. That's just an onus we're going to be burdened with. But, David, you know, speaking, like Ed's talking about, you know, with Sunshine and alternate media and stuff, we've got Kentucky Progress. You know, we do everything here at NVM Radio and Louisville Politics. You know, there's a whole lot of us out there. But, you know, traditionally, you would think that Ed's right, that until now, the Supreme Court, the Kentucky Supreme Court, all these other people have really had a free ride because they haven't had to answer to anybody. But all this alternate media and stuff, isn't that making a dramatic effect on this thing going forward that you're doing?
I think so, and of course I hope so. But, it's one of those things that we've been talking for a long time about building up the alternative media infrastructure continuing to have a larger impact so that we can get the attention of the mainstream media. We're seeing some success with that. You know, the term Tea Party is fully mainstreamed now. Everybody's got an opinion of the Tea Party and what the Liberty Movement is about, and so our voices are expanded. You know, I called a press conference for tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the state capitol, and you know, I'm not having to beg the media to come. They're coming, see what's going on with the exchanges, and you know, we have real problems. In addition to legal problems, you know, now we have 2 weeks worth of real on the ground problems with the Kentucky Health Benefit Exchange that they need to be answering for. They're just not.
And that's nothing new. We're not going to get any answers on that. These people are so overloaded right now. They have no clue what went wrong. What could possibly go wrong when at federal level, because Kentucky has to connect into the federal computers for this. It's not like we're running our own exchange here for real. We're connecting into the federal computers for all this crap. But what could possibly go wrong with Obama awarding a no-bid contract to a Canadian firm going to charge us $500 million for a $20 million setup? I don't think it could go wrong here, right? You know, that's the amazing thing. So when is this supposed to move to the next level, David? What's the next hearing?
I don't have an answer for that. We're still in the briefing stage where we're killing trees. We're sending written arguments back and forth. I'm writing up another one tomorrow, and we'll get it in right away. And hopefully it'll happen here pretty darn soon. But I don't have a more specific answer than that.
You know, I've got to be honest with you. I spent 2.5 years killing trees on the Jim King case here in Louisville. Believe me. And that's another thing, too, because, you know, that's another obstacle for you to overcome, because these guys in government are using what? They're using taxpayer money, getting the best legal advice they can, and what they do is they just overload you and overwhelm you with so much garbage paperwork and cases that don't have anything to do with what you're doing to try to just basically harass you out of the game, don't they?
They do, and maybe they thought I was gonna go more quietly or go easily. I love the fight, and continue to while they continue to try to distract, I try to keep it right on the basic, most basic legal argument that it. The governor simply doesn't have the authority to do these things by himself, and the fact that he has done them anyway is a violation of the law. One thing that I would have our legislature take a look at as soon as possible is criminalizing these violations of the law. Right now, there's really no penalty. Governor Beshear gets to go into court and raise a stink and say, I get to do this. If the Supreme Court shuts him down and says, no, look at the law. You can't do the law says very clearly you can't do this. So we need to nullify these actions. Governor Beshear goes on, and the next day is just another day. What we should do is when the governor attempts to do so blatantly and so persistently to effect changes in state government illegally, and then when the process exists to nullify that action, when he simply ignores it and goes ahead, there should be a fine and there should be jail time associated with that.
And, I totally agree with you, man. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we get back, we're going to reboot, gear up. David, can you hang with us? I want to get into some of the Tea Party stuff. Okay, good. I want to talk about what's going on with the Tea Party right now, what's really going on in Washington, because I find it fascinating that the Republican Party is so fractured, and they're willing to stand up. Rhinos are standing up blaming the Tea Party, and, the Tea Party didn't get there alone, man. That's people talking. So we want to get into some of that when we get back. Listen to the Ed Spreaker Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. All right, we are back right here at the MVM Radio Network. Once again, all you guys that listen, we appreciate you being here. Have no clue what happened. It started the show. It's amazing. It never fails when you get national. NBC News crew is here from Washington, D.C., taking the show tonight for you guys who didn't know. And, so we're trying to do all of this. They were trying to plug in and all kinds of stuff. trying to plug in anyway. Something happened somewhere. Not sure what it was. I'm the Fred Flintstone of all the stuff, so I apologize for that, and my apologies to our great guest, Dave Adams. David, you know, we're talking about the Obamacare debacle, and you're taking the bull by the horns. You're underfunded, understaffed, trying to fight the Kentucky health care exchange dictated by Obama, because he sure said so. You know, and amazingly enough, the same Tea Party that you have been fighting for years, and you did a hell of a job with Rand Paul. Rand Paul is there today because of your efforts. You know, we've got Tom Massey, we've got Rand Paul, Justin Amash, Ted Cruz. The list goes on and on and on. These are Tea Party conservatives. People are being told over and over all these bad labels about the Tea Party. Now we're called anarchists and all these other things. The Tea Party has risen in a very short amount of time, in my opinion. And, you know, what is going on in the Republican Party trying to make them the scapegoat?
You know, I love it. I think that, well, certainly the latest polling that came out on national issues that showed that President Obama's approval rating was down to 37%. There was one little fact or statistic that was stuck in there that said that just over half of Republicans align themselves with the Tea Party. I mean, that should be big headline news by itself. The effort to, you know, this is not the tail wagging the dog anymore. We're in control. We have the stronger message, and you know, within the Republican Party, it was really pretty easy and kind of frustrating that it took this long. That you have a message on one side that says, "Hey, we stand for stuff. Hey, when we talk about smaller government, we mean it." And then on the other side saying, you know, we campaign for smaller government, but when we get in, we go for the same thing the Democrats do. It's a source of constant amazement and surprise to me that it took so long for us to ascend to a position of power within the Republican Party, given how the weakness of the arguments of the other side, the establishment folks. But we're there. It's simply a matter of continuing to push and push and push. The Republican Party is the party of the Tea Party now. And I feel pretty good about it.
And, you know, and I think you should. I mean, what is it? First they ignore you, then they attack you, then you win, something along that line. You know,
that's
exactly where it is. And that's exactly where it is, because they're being attacked left and right. You know, it's fascinating to me that, you know, the Democrats, and here's the problem with the rhinos, because you got John McCain and Lindsey Graham, who are nothing but liberals in disguise with an R behind them. They're not conservative. But here's the problem, because what we've got going on right now is, this is the 18th government shutdown since 1977. First 15 of those, the Democrats shut down the government because they did not want to fund defense. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's Obamacare, defense spending, insert name here. The Democrats shut down government because they had a funding problem that the House did not want to fund. The same exact thing the Republicans here are doing. So the Republicans go ahead and give in and say, we're not going to give in on this, we're allow the government to shut down. And the Democrats have been able to parlay that because the Republicans are still taking most of the heat. But isn't that because of the infighting with the rhinos like Graham and McCain going out there and using terms like terrorists when it comes to their own Republican colleagues, whether they're Tea Party or not?
Yeah, the rhino wing of the Republican Party, is, you know, we never could have expected them to go without a fight, but they are causing really all of our problems within the Republican Party. And, if, you know, they portray themselves as the adults or the reasonable people when it's completely unreasonable to expect that the party is going to go anywhere siding with the Democrats.
Right. And, you know, and that brings me to two small things here. Because, you know, we often refer to the two-party system here on this show as the uniparty. Personally, I don't believe there's a difference between either one of them. The people on the right go just right enough to be left. The people on the left go just right, just left enough to be right. And it's really interesting when you get into the paradoxes and paradigms and everything that goes on. But there's two glaring things here that really stand out to me throughout this whole ordeal. And it's the Republican failures in leadership on this. One, they never fought to tell the whole world that funding any part of Obamacare now is illegal because of the exemptions that the Congress never approved.
Sure.
And then the second thing is they've never made an issue out of the fact that Democrats used the exact same thing when they controlled the House 15 times out of 17 or 18 shutdowns. Why is it that they did not do that?
I don't have an answer for that. I'm beside myself with frustration and anger our own Senator Mitch McConnell is telling people that, you know, we can't stop Obamacare through this method. Absolutely we can. The reason that the U.S. Constitution gives the power of the purse to the people's house, to the House of Representatives, is that if we find that a public policy mistake has been made, that a law has been implemented that is not working, does not work, cannot work, will not work, we have the ability through the people's house with the power of the purse to defund it. They simply stop paying for it, and the law can stay on the books if you want to, but, you know, there's not going to be additional money, and that's the whole thing about Obamacare. Is if this was really about saving money, then funding wouldn't be an issue. It would all be a benefit. We would see the benefit. It would be real and tangible. But there is no benefit. It's all about spending more money. And so right now there is money in place for Obamacare, but eventually if we stand our ground, that money runs out. They come back and say, "Yeah, we need more money for this thing." Then the answer is no, and it's an open and shut case. End of discussion.
Right, and we're right back to where we started, because this is exactly why the founders put things this way as far as controlling the purse strings, like you said. You know, and it's the third point. Why have the Republicans in the House not put forth that constitutional argument? See, that's the whole thing for me. That's why I think there was total collusion in all of this. Call me a tinfoil hat, you know, guy, whatever you want to call me. But there's not much doubt in my mind that this is exactly something that John Boehner, and yes, I know his name is Boehner, but he's acting like a boner, and Harry Peed, put together behind closed doors. Shut it down for a while. Let's play the game. You know, or the Republicans are just so stupid they don't know how to play poker because they pulled a bluff that they can't win because they're already backed off. I mean, just the other day, if you recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Republican House make an offer to extend the government for 6 weeks, which is exactly what Harry Reid said he wanted the weekend before the shutdown.
Right.
And Reid said no.
No,
so
that's
not
exactly
right. So why are we not out there? Why are they not out there doing that?
I believe that you're correct. If it's a tinfoil hat theory, then sign, you know, put mine on my head too, because this is so bad that I'm going to believe that it's collusion between the two chambers, between the two parties, until it's proven otherwise. So yeah, I think you're right all the way.
Hey, I appreciate that. You know, I like that. And, you know, but the reality at this point is this. The Tea Party is going to get trashed no matter what happens here. It's already been happening. It's been happening for over a week now. You know, we're calling it terrorists, anarchists, insert derogatory term here, if you will. You know, does the Tea Party benefit from this in the 2014 midterm elections? Do the Republicans lose in this? Do the Democrats win? Because I'm really trying to get a feel. And on the street, people are telling me that they blame Obama and the Senate Democrats. And people are telling me that the Tea Party is right. but yet every major manipulated poll by the liberal mainstream press continues trying to paint a different picture. What's right, what's wrong here? Who's going to benefit, who's going to lose?
Yeah, I think that the Tea Party wins. I think that the Tea Party asserting itself in Republican primaries, as big as that was in 2010, it winds up being bigger in 2014. And yes, I am talking about Kentucky. I think that the time is right, and the establishment GOP has one play in its playbook that it keeps running over and over and over again, and has worked. The reason that they keep running it is because it's worked for decades as the country has become more and more Republican. And they took a shift in demographics, essentially, and somehow conflated that with their brilliance, and they think that they've caused everything that's happened. And so they want to keep doing the same thing, which is playing footsie with the Democrats under the covers, and then yelling and screaming for the cameras, clowning for the cameras, acting like there's a difference between the two when there is not. And I think that game plays out, runs its course to a large extent this year and early part of next year.
Well, I personally hope you're right. One quick thing, too. We'll talk about Tea Party. We'll talk about what's going to be the trade-off here. This is going to be done by tomorrow night. I'm sure of that. There's no doubt in my mind about it. They're not going to let it go to the 17th. And for the record, folks, I want to be real clear here and understand this. This whole fiscal crisis and all this other junk we're going to default on debt is a lie. The IRS is part of the 85% of the federal government that's still fully operational. They're collecting $200 billion a month of your hard-earned money, and the debt service costs us $20 billion of that. So we've got the money to pay our debt. Don't let them continue lying to you on that. But at the end of the day, though, Dave, what's going to be the trade-off? What are the Republicans going to give up? Because they're already showing signs of caving.
I saw something this afternoon that Senator McConnell was going to come out with some kind of a framework for a grand bargain, and I haven't seen what that is, so I don't really know. But I want to put perhaps a little bit of a finer point on the point that you just made, that rather than calling this thing a debt ceiling, we should call it a stupid stuff ceiling. That it has nothing to do with debt payments. It's about paying for all the stupid stuff that the federal government buys. And so the debt payments are a component of that. They're certainly not the major component. And if we were simply smart enough to say, look, shut down the Department of Education, to shut down the Department of Interior, leave us alone on some of this stuff, shut down the Department of Housing and Urban Development, for heaven's sakes, and then pay the bills, pay the bondholders, and go on, and then we'll see where we stand next month. That should be the discussion, not, oh, my goodness, if we don't have all the money that we need for all our debt plus all our stupid stuff, we're not going to be able to make our debt payments. That's just absurd.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That's totally fascinating. It's interesting when you sit here and watch these guys try to portray the houses burning down, because a candle drops some wax on the fireplace. You know what I mean? It's hilarious to me. So, here's one for you too, and I want your opinion on this. 85% of the government is running. We've 15% of the government shut down, but that 15% was deemed non-essential. Non-essential means not needed, folks. So 15% of government is not needed. And yet, here's the miraculous thing. 2.2 million federal employees work for the United States government. 800,000 of them were furloughed. Almost 40% of federal government employees control and work in 15% of a not needed government. Can somebody explain to me why we don't have fat to cut?
Boy, that's a great point. I've never heard anybody describe it just like that. That's fantastic.
The problem is, why isn't Republican leadership describing it just like that? See, that's the
great
thing.
Great
that's
point.
The thing for me. That's the thing for me. Why are these political pundits who are getting paid the big bucks, we'll get paid the big bucks, so why are these political pundits out there getting paid the big bucks, not stating the obvious to the American people? And to be quite honest with you, everybody that sits out there and wants to say that Fox News is the conservative voice, that was proven to be a lie last Friday, because over the weekend, we had a few thousand veterans break down the barricades at the World War II Memorial. We had a trucker convoy that's longer than 10 miles long, and Fox News on Friday said that the trucker convoy was nothing more than a hoax. They weren't coming to Washington over the weekend. Who bought off Fox News?
Good question.
That's where the alternate media comes from, and that's where Kentucky Progress comes into play, David. Keep the good work, man. We're going to take a quick break. We are overdrive. We're going to stay here for just a few minutes. David, if you could stick with us, that'd be great. If not, I totally understand. We're going to try to.
Ed, I do have a meeting to go into. I'm out of time.
I appreciate it very much, sir. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you very, very much. Ed Martin, we're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to get into some of this stuff.
Right.
In the meantime, here's a great song for folks. In America today, we have a dictator-in-chief who thinks he can pick and choose what he wants to incorporate in law. Congress passes a law. He says, no problem. I got what I wanted. And, oh, by the way, we're not going to follow the law. He does not have that right. He's got a jerk in his Department of Justice who follows around like a puppy dog with his tail wagging and his tongue hanging out, and Eric Holder, who keeps lying to him and telling him he's got authority he doesn't. Obamacare is going to be a nightmare, and we've got people out there like David Adams who put the Tea Party on the map in Kentucky. Let's face it, folks. David Adams ran Rand Paul's campaign, and we were happy to introduce Rand Paul to the Louisville market. We put in a mainstream, Ed. We were the first ones that got Rand Paul out there in the mainstream. We brought him in a couple of times, and then all of a sudden everybody picked up on it. So once again, we led the way. But we have people out there fighting. You know, we got into a lot of other things since we were talking about the Tea Party, Ed. Is the Tea Party going to be relevant going forward, or is this going to shut them down?
Well, you know me, I'm always into variables. I think the Tea Party, you know, it's going to be relevant. Now, how much it picks up depends on what comes out the backside of this. If ultimately they get, you know, they get sidestepped and it turns into be just a distraction that annoyed people and the establishment on the left and the right can portray them as that, then they're going to take a hit for it. But if out of this comes some meaningful changes, whether it's, you know, enough quotes from the Democrats, you know, let's look at Obamacare and fix it, and it results in changes to it. If they don't defund it, Same with debt ceiling and stuff. If the all the hell that the Tea Party is raising, if it ends up being, you know, a longer term meaningful discussion with, you know, answering those questions, like you said, okay, what's non-essential? If it does that, then people are going to say, yeah, those Tea Party guys, they can be a little annoying with how sure they are of themselves. But if we get some good results out of it, some positive results, then I absolutely think it's going to be a win for the Tea Party.
Well, you know, I ultimately hope that it's a good win for conservatives. You know, the interesting thing for me, though, Ed, is labels. You know, I was interviewing with NBC News Today out of Washington and New York, and you know, they came into town. And by the way, I want to give them some props, because I tell you what, they Aaron Sasson and Bill Angelucci, I apologize, Bill, if I got that wrong, these guys are the NBC News guys that came into town trying to do a story on a show in the politics and get the local feel. And these guys were very, very professional, and I could not have been treated any better. So I want to thank those guys at NBC for the opportunity to be heard nationwide. And you should be able to see that at NBC.com later tonight, and it will be played on MSNBC once they get through cutting everything as well. So we are national, folks. But, you know, it's like I was telling these guys, though, when we were interviewing today. You know, when you talk about the Tea Party, you know, there's always this labeling going on. You know, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you're Tea Party, you're Coffee Party, whatever the hell you are. You know, and that's how they win. And what's really fascinating to me throughout all of this is personally, the Democrats, I mean, if you look at this from a purely outside perspective, from a political perspective, Democrats have done one hell of a job throughout this whole situation. They've got so much infighting going on between the Republican Party that even the rhinos, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, who should be standing alongside their Republican colleagues, are referring to the Tea Party guys as anarchists and terrorists. So, you know, so you've got the Republican Party totally divided from within. They can't stand together against the Democratic Party. It's no wonder that they're starting to cave, is it?
Well, no, and the thing is for you and I, and most of the Kentuckians, this is old news, because we saw it back when Rand was running. You know, everybody was calling him a libertarian, they were calling him an outsider, this, that, and the other. He was up against Trey Grayson, the chosen one of the party elite. And the party elites, you know, your Lindsey Graham's, your McCain's of you know, the state of Kentucky, you recall, they couldn't stand Rand Paul. You know, him and his little uppity ideas where he was casting, you know, he was calling the Republicans out, he was calling the Democrats out, he was making this about the debt and the deficit, and he was talking about smaller government and meant it. And we saw, like I said, we saw it years ago here in Kentucky, and you know, you remember it. We went to the a few functions with Rand, and it's like, we're the only ones that, you know, a handful of people, you, me, and David, and you know, you can walk right up to him, and he wasn't popular because he was the outsider. And I think you're just seeing that now on a national level. You're seeing it where the guys like McCain and Graham, you know, they've been there forever. They've lost their credibility. They've lost their, you know, they've lost their street creds. When they want to talk smaller government, they have no street creds. So if David was talking about that, what's the difference, you know, and we talk about the Uniparty. I think you're looking at guys like McCain and others who have been there through all the George W. Bush years and admittedly the Reagan years and George H.W. Bush. But most pointedly, George W. Bush years, when you had Cheney saying deficits don't matter. This was a party of smaller government. These guys went along for the ride. So now all of a sudden you've got some guys coming in here shining daylight on everything. I think that's one of the big reasons that we're seeing them want to compromise and stuff, is because they know that they're, you know, they know it's fresh in everybody's memory. It's like, guys, these are the guys who ran up the deficit. So now all of a sudden your anti-debt limit increases, you know, they fight it pretty hard, but every once in a while they're actually anti-interventionist war. You know,
right?
They're still for the Patriot Act. I mean, they're old guard, and they're clinging to their power. And just like it was here in Kentucky a number of years ago when Rand Paul burst onto the scene,
right?
And they don't
and that's
like
exactly
them. They
it.
Don't like somebody like him.
Well, and that's exactly it. You know, and I actually got to give some props here. He's propped himself in the chat room like he always does. But Dale the Truth, I mean, Dale the Truth was telling me about Rand Paul before we ever knew Rand Paul was going to run anything. And, you know, it's interesting how on target he was with that. But, you know, Rand Paul does what most people don't. You know, as Paul Hossie was out in the chat room, you know, he speaks to the people about what they want to know about. He doesn't speak to the party bosses and for the party bosses. And that's what makes him so genuine. And that's why the Tea Party has been able to be successful to date, is because they have been outspoken. They have tried to tell people the truth. You might not like the message, but the messenger has to respect it one way or the other, whether you agree or not. So I think a lot of that is very important. Where's the Tea Party going forward? I'm not sure. But this much I am sure about. We are pretty much at the end of time here, Ed. Final thoughts, my friend.
Oh, final thoughts. You know, like you say, everything's about the end result. Anyone asked about whether it's a good thing or bad thing. You know, I wish the end result would have been more planning. I wish, you know, the front end, so that we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this. You know me. I'm always going to sit here and say, my God, how long have we had Obamacare, you know, and we just keep going about defunding it or doing this, that, the other. You know, I could have more respect for the Republican establishment versus the Tea Party guys if the Republican establishment sometime between when Obama got elected and when Obamacare got passed and signed into law, if they'd have come up with some improvements or some you know, something better that we could look at. But they don't, and then they act all confused, and they start calling people terrorists, went into that vacuum, because that's what it is. You have a leadership vacuum in the Republican Party. You know, into that vacuum steps Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Justin Amash, and guys like that. They were elected there to do a job, and damn it, if you know, it's to the point if nobody else is going to step up and do that job, they're going to step up and do it. And for that, they get called terrorists. So, hey, big picture, I actually blame the Republican establishment. Over the years, I cannot believe that they haven't come up with a you know, worthwhile alternate plan or a worthwhile way of making it better, or as we've discussed before, or at least, you know, if Obama starts piecemealing in what he wants to enforce and who he wants to give exemptions to, you know, they'd have taken a stand and say, no, all or nothing. I mean, that tends to be my position. It's all or nothing. You either, you know, light this thing up, it's either going to shine or it's going to burn to the ground. So let's see what it's got. I mean, instead of quit playing all these games. So leadership vacuum in the Republican Party, you know, up in the upper echelons, and these you know, these startups believe in what they're doing, and they're going to fill that vacuum. So big picture, I blame it on the leadership vacuum that we've had in the Republican Party going, oh, I don't know, 10, 12 years now.
Well, and I can agree with that. By the way, before I get into my rant, don't go off air yet. I want to talk to you off air when we get done here. Folks, tonight we put David Adams on here to tell you about the failures of Governor Steve Beshear and him trying to assume dictatorial powers. David Adams is suing the state of Kentucky and Governor Steve Beshear for not following the law of the land and our state constitution. Why is this not happening on a national level is my question. Why is this not happening with Obamacare? Because Obamacare at this point has to be deemed illegal because of the exemptions that the Congress never approved. So we've got to look at those things, and then we've got to look at the big picture. What really is going on today in the Republican Party? No one knows. No one knows. So you don't have anybody that's going to be able to sit there and stand up one party against the other, like most people expect. We have become so divided. And, you know, if you ever watched the movie, Remember the Titans. I don't know if you guys have ever watched that or ever cared to, and I know it's corny to use movies, but, you know, there's one part in there where on a football field, Bertier, who's one of the stars of the show, tells Big Julius that, you know, he had the worst attitude he's ever seen or heard. And Julius responds to him right away, attitude reflects leadership. And that's exactly what we've got. We've got a divided nation because we've got divided leadership. No one can stand up and tell us, you know, what they can do to change things. All they can do is sling mud back and forth. So you have people like Rand Paul, Justin Amash, Ted Cruz, insert name here. There's a lot of people out there. Tom Massey on the House side. You've got all of these people that are standing up there telling what we want to know, and the mainstream media is shocked. Shocked. That they could get elected out there, they tell the people we want to know. The establishment is shocked, shocked that someone would actually stand up and tell the truth instead of answer to the bosses. You know, that's what got it in this country. We've got poor leadership. We've got divided Americans. And unfortunately, as long as we're divided, the powers that be will still continue to be the elitists that continue to run and control everything. I've had enough of it. Most of you have. And thank goodness, we're starting to see things like Tea Party. You don't have to agree with the Tea Party, but at least listen to the message and do your own research, and then you'll have an informed opinion. That's it for tonight. Many thanks to David Adams for showing up tonight and putting up with that bear of about 4 or 5 minutes we had with the audio at the beginning of the show. Many thanks to national news folks. NBC came all the way into Louisville to sit here and chat with us and learn more about what's going on. And, you know, many thanks to those guys, Aaron Sasson and Bill Angelucci, for them. I don't know what else to say. It's an honor to be thought of, to be representative, and that just shows to show you how much of a difference it's a lamestream, little-known alternate media site are getting. And yet the National News Corporation is coming to you for the news. Guess what? You've arrived. So keep paying attention to the alternative news, folks, because we are the future. That's for tonight. Tomorrow night we'll be back with Ed Martin, hopefully a little bit earlier, and we will not have these sound problems, I'm sure. And in the meantime, have a great night, folks. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7. Take care.
Hey everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The government can.
And who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
And let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.